Hey everybody, happy Monday, happy Eclipse Day. Before that, we have a great discussion here regarding a new approach to collaboration and hybrid remote work with the CEO and founder of SoWork, Fisha. How are you?
Good, good, great. Beautiful day in Boston. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It is. I hope we'll get a good view of the eclipse through, you know, appropriate glasses, doctor, so we don't have any eye damage. Good. But having said all that, you have a really intriguing proposition here with SoWork, and you have a fascinating background. Let me ask you to introduce yourself and your experience both as a physician and an entrepreneur.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first, good call on the glasses. I think that's very wise. as for my background, I kind of got into entrepreneurship when I was pretty young, 10 years old. My brother and I, we started our first company. He was a year older than me, and we didn't call it a company at the time, but that was kind of our initial experience. So I would basically go around our neighborhood and forage for computer parts in dumpsters and school sort of recycling bins and things like that, and bring them home. And my brother and I, we would put them back together, and then he would kind of kit them out with the latest software and refurbish them essentially, and then we'd sell them around the neighborhood for profit to buy video games and candy. So not like a hugely important use of money, but at the time when you're 10 years old, great idea. Pivoted a little bit, went into medicine. I'm intrigued by human body. And so that was kind of the medical turn. Then started training in emergency medicine. Went back and started another company. And since then, that was 2018, since then, I've been kind of more wearing my CEO hat, but I do a month or so of medicine every year. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Wow, what a wonderful story. Very inspirational. And what was the big idea behind SoWork? What was the inspiration behind the vision and the mission there?
Yeah. Well, you know, so my team and I, this came out of a pivot, right? So it came out of a pivot. So we were originally building a totally different software. It was machine learning for higher ed, for medical education. We were on campus at HBS building out of the iLab, the Harvard Innovation Lab. We call it the iLab for short. And when COVID hit, March 2020, April 2020, Harvard kicked everybody off campus, and my team and I got sort of spread out all over Boston again. And like, you know, we were in our little apartments all over the city. And, you know, it was okay for a little bit. We were using Slack, we were using Zoom. But over time, I could kind of feel the fabric of my team. You know, we were a super close knit in person, like just a really tight team. We'd play foosball every day multiple times during breaks from engineering and all this stuff. And it just kind of started to suck. And our like, I felt like the fabric of our team was starting to fray. So I was like, okay, well, how did I stay connected? Like, when are the times in my life that I felt the most connected to people despite being across long distances? And the memory that kept coming back to me was when I used to play World of Warcraft, super nerdy, definitely aware, but I met so many of my best friends in that world, right? That MMO world. So I was like, oh, what if we, in fact, I actually met an investor who invested $3 million into my company. I met our current CTO. I met a product guy that worked with us. I met one of my designers, all playing World of Warcraft. I met the guy who helped me get into medical school playing World of Warcraft. So I was like, how do we recreate that kind of, you know, camaraderie and teamwork, but geared toward the workplace? Like, how do we create the MMO of work? And we used to call it the World of Warcraft back then. And so that's kind of like got us, you know, going down that line of thinking. We created a little MVP. It completely transformed my team after a couple of weeks of working in it. We started showing it to all of our other cohort teams at Harvard. They all loved it. And so we said, okay, well, let's explore this. And that's kind of how it's evolved. That was the initial sort of seed. And then it has evolved to where it is today.
Wow, it's a wonderful story. And World of Warcraft, I mean, it's a terrible name, but wow, what a geek fest that would have been. Totally. But, you know, talk about how you see yourself fitting in amongst this giant landscape of collaboration tools, particularly in, you know, medium, large enterprises. Sure. So many options and choices and approaches to remote work, video, messaging. text, et cetera, et cetera. What is, you know, what is your perspective on, you know, who's adopting your technology?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess there's a couple parts to that question. One is like, who's adopting? What we thought was like, oh, we're going to have like a pretty narrow, you know, ideal customer profile. But what we see is that people are treating us more like a horizontal software, kind of like a Slack or a Zoom, where there's teams that are all different sectors and different sizes and different geographies and et cetera, different stages, who need what we've built. It's your video chat. It's your place for your team. It's your physical office replacement, right? And your text chat as well. So every team building anything kind of needs something like that. Obviously, we need to be a little bit more narrow in terms of prioritizing features and things like that. But that was one surprising thing to us was, oh, wow, it's not just kind of like a single vertical who's been adopting our software. And we see that in our metrics, kind of who's coming in, all of our analytics and stuff like that kind of keep reinforcing that story. The second part to it is, how do we fit in broadly in like a tech stack that any remote or digital team, distributed team uses? So I guess there's this big push that we read about LinkedIn and other news media that say, oh, you know, the CEOs of all of these companies are pushing people to return to the office. You know, home offices and remote work is dead and everybody needs to come back to the office. And we see that like over and over, and every few weeks there's kind of like a new wave of that type of media. But frankly, the issue, it's almost like the wrong prescription for a correctly diagnosed problem, right? And the problem that's being diagnosed is, hey, my team doesn't really feel like a team when we're not together anymore, right? That's like what the company leaders are saying. But, you know, and I'm sure that probably many people who are listening to this right now have felt this. When you use Zoom and you use Slack, you're getting text messages sent back and forth, right, on Slack. You're getting video calls transferred back and forth on Zoom. That's happening for sure. But so work is moving, but there's still something missing. There's still a piece missing, whether it's the culture of your team or whether it's connection with your other teammates. There's just something about your team that's going to feel different, that doesn't feel very good. And what that ends up doing to your team is a whole bunch of stuff. It will slow down your innovation. I think this has been studied at HBS. There's a professor, Ashley Willens. She's been studying innovation, her and a couple of colleagues. And they found that not having a shared place for your team stunts your innovation within your organization. And there's many other studies like this. So for us, we say, okay, well, the diagnosis is somewhat correct in that there's a problem here. And then what's the actual solution to that? Well, it's not going back to the office. I mean, maybe for some teams it is, but for the vast majority of people who are just trying to live their lives and do their work in sort of a harmonious way, the solution, at least that we've found is resonating with a lot of people, is, okay, well, what happens if we give people their place back, but in digital form? And what happens if we try to replicate or recreate or even one up the things that are possible in a physical office, but in a digital office? Like, how much fidelity can we get with sort of two approaches, right? Concordance, so to speak. So yeah, that's where I think we fit, is we give teams their shared place back. And that seems to solve a lot of problems. And I can talk about customer reaction, et cetera. But that seems to solve a lot of problems with respect to culture, belonging, innovation, speed of work delivery, all sorts of things on various teams. So I'd encourage people, obviously, to try it out.
Yeah, I can't wait to give it a try. So do you have some anecdotes, stories around where you helped with collaboration, productivity, engagement that you could talk about?
Oh, gosh, so many.
Okay.
One good place is like our G2 reviews are like a really great place to read about customer stories. You know, we share them on our website too, but we can only really sample so many, because we've heard and we see that we've been transformative for so many teams around the world. And so let's see if I can give some examples. There's a company called Height Digital. Right. They're pretty reasonably sized marketing agency or marketing company. They're like a couple hundred people. They've posted multiple times on their LinkedIn and their Twitters that like they used to feel this disconnection, and they used to feel like team teamwork was slower, innovation was slower, work was slower, and all of that in 2024, when you have uncertain market conditions, you have an economy that you're kind of worried about, but like it looks like things are okay, but you have to be careful. You're in the wake of an SVB collapse and other banking sort of troubles. You're in, you know, the midst of lots of layoffs, and there's all sorts of nonsense happening in the world today, right? So you need to be really careful with your capital, and you need to be really careful with your team morale and all sorts of different things. So the faster you can ship your product, the faster you can encourage team innovation and team collaboration, ultimately the happier your customers are and the better your bottom line is. And so we've heard from Height, for example. We've heard from who's another example I'm allowed to give? A whole bunch of different customers. You can see them on our logo reel.
I'll take a look. It's quite a diverse and interesting group. So what do you think about the hybrid office and virtual mm-hmm. office space market? Mm-hmm. You know, we seem to have settled on some idea of hybrid work, although it's kind of a mess in that there's no one policy. It seems every company has a different approach. Where do you see this headed over the next year or two?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people think hybrid is the answer, mm-hmm. and because they see it as possibly being some kind of compromise. But again, we're so early in this sort of evolving landscape where it's kind of during COVID when everybody was forced to work at home. You know, my dad always says, and I think this is a pretty well-known statement, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention. I think that's the saying. And the pandemic really forced that upon companies to figure out their remote strategy. When hybrid became an option, some people, maybe due to comfort and maybe due to sort of not being able to envision a different type of world, again, maybe because it's the wrong solution to the right problem, that's where a lot of people have seemed to settle. I don't think that hybrid is going to be enduring long-term because of kind of what you said. Everybody's got a different policy. Sometimes it's up to the teams within larger organizations to set them themselves. You know, if you, me, and five other people are on a team, let's say a small team within a bigger company, like we all kind of have to decide to be in the office on the same day or the same 2 or 3 days per week, whatever the policy is. Otherwise, you're at home, I'm in the office, we're essentially working remote, right? Even though it's like a you pick your 3 days type of thing. So I think it's just an area rife with problems. And when you offer a really talented staff member, potential staff member, the opportunity to work fully remote, but with a tool like Sowork, or something else that accomplishes the same problem. I obviously don't want to be too biased here. Then they're going to choose versus being hybrid, which is confusing, or being fully in person. Like they're going to choose the thing by and large that creatives choose, which is flexibility, right? And creatives are the type of teammates that you really need to be able to push things forward in this day and age. You need all types of teammates, but creatives, I think, are particularly important.
No, it's very, very fun. And I love the design ethos as a gamer, a retro gamer. It looks actually really fun to engage with. But do you get any pushback from C-suite types or executives who, you know, maybe don't like the design principles? I guess it's not for everyone, but how do you include everyone who may not be into this sort of stimulus or this sort of visual paradigm?
Yeah. Well, so it's a great question. We basically, I think that you can onboard anyone into anything as long as the user experience is good enough, right? And we are very fortunate in that one of my investors, a guy named Bing Gordon, he's one of the key people who created The Sims and the different sort of those Maxis and EA games. He's been so helpful in sharing lessons about how and what works for helping people to be so in love with The Sims and to make the user experience super easy for how they interact. Another one of my friends and advisors is a guy named Philip Rosedale. He's the founder of Second Life. So he's also been very helpful in sharing, okay, what works, what didn't work, how do you position things in this type of product? Another guy, Jason Fried, good friend of mine, he founded Basecamp. He's been like a remote work guy for 25 years, and he's so bullish on it. So kind of just talking to him about, you know, how do we make sure that people are very comfortable and have all the tools they need to thrive in a remote work setting? I think when you bring together like the real problem being solved, the real UX that is really easy and fun for people, and then lessons from the past about what's worked and what's not worked, that's been super helpful for us to craft an experience that seems to resonate with a lot of people. And then to link that to what you were asking about C-suite or maybe people who are not sort of native gamers, it's been a little surprising, actually, in a good way, where, you know, when you put a bunch of people who aren't gamers onto something like Zoom, right? Like it's a UI, an interface that you actually have to learn, right? Like when I came onto this software that we're using here, I had to figure out where things go because, or what does what, because you don't have like this rich history, evolutionary history of intuiting how things work because it's not skeuomorphic. Whereas in our world, people kind of intuit that, oh, wow, okay, so I'm this guy, this little avatar. If I walk over to this other one, chances are we'll be able to strike up a conversation. If I walk over to this whiteboard, chances are we'll be able to write on it, and you can. So there's this kind of this unspoken ease of UX that happens just by virtue of it being kind of based on our physical world. So we've seen, yes, there is definitely pushback from certain types of CEOs and certain types of company leaders. It's usually a matter of this is just a normal crossing the chasm type thing. I'm sure you're familiar with that graph. You know, that's every software company is going to have that issue. Every product, not just software company, is going to have that issue. And that's kind of our version of it. So we're very happily working with our early adopters in the early part of that curve, on the left of the bell curve. And then we're happy to bring over the laggards in time.
No, it's a really interesting paradigm. And what's your take on the three-dimensional version of this? There have been attempts with, you know, Meta and, of course, Apple with the Vision Pro to look at collaboration in the metaverse or in a metaverse. Mm-hmm. Is that a direction you see yourself potentially going in?
So, it's complicated because UX, I think, is everything, right? And I just don't think the world nor hardware is ready for persistent long-term use of these headsets. I love VR, right? Like I was one of the earliest adopters of VR. I literally have a development kit for the Google Glass, if you remember that horrendous technology, right? It kills me using that thing. But like, that's how early I actually, you know what? It goes back even earlier. I have a Virtual Boy. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that, but I have a Virtual Boy.
Nintendo, yeah, sure.
I used to play the hell out of Telluro Boxer and Mario Tennis, and there's a whole bunch of Mario Donkey Kong. There's like a whole bunch of games in that. Horrendous. Bad for you, I think, right? But that's how far back I go with VR. I'm like a big believer in the technology. I have the Quest 1, 2, 3. I have the Vision Pro. I still don't think that any person in their right mind is going to use that for work, at least not now. And so we are developing, without sort of giving away too much, we're developing our everything that we've been developing from day one, i.e. a couple years ago, we made to be compatible with 3D, full 3D, full camera control, fully VR, or 3D on your 2D screen, kind of like your computer screen or your phone. But we're not rolling that out until I think the time is right. And I certainly don't think that's now, despite how wonderful a piece of technology both the Quest 3 and the Vision Pro are.
All great points. So as you get into larger enterprises, I'm sure you get lots of concerns around privacy and security and compliance and all those issues that bedevil the enterprise these days. How do you think about those challenges?
Yeah. So I think it kind of all starts, I guess there's a couple points here. One is like, the bullet points, like what's our security like? What's our data privacy like? We have very clear strict terms on our website that anybody can read. And so we're very careful from a certification perspective. We're literally in the middle of our SOC 2 audit right now. And so we take privacy and security very, very seriously so that we can instill confidence in enterprises using us. You can't really be a serious work product if you don't have these bases covered. So that's kind of how we think about that. The second thing is that I am a pretty big believer in data privacy as a human right, like your own data privacy. So that hopefully, you know, that will be baked into any company that I build, is care of data and sort of good stewardship of data.
Well said. And speaking of the healthcare setting and as a practicing physician, what's the reaction been in the healthcare setting, practices or hospital environments? They've typically been pretty slow to adopt these kind of technologies for various reasons, but any feedback from your colleagues?
Yeah, it's funny. I think there's one person I'd love to give a shout out to, Teresa Chan. She's at McMaster. Actually, no, she's accepted a role as the founding dean of, I think it's Toronto Medical School. I think that's it's like a brand new med school that's opening up in Toronto. And she's one of the most innovative people I've met in medicine. And she and her colleagues are actually using SoWork to create the world's first like emergency department in the virtual world, or some might say the metaverse.
Wow.
It's pretty cool, actually. So they basically, like Sim-style MapMaker, they built out an emergency department. There's, you know, MRIs and CT scanners and waiting rooms and triage nurses. There's all sorts of cool stuff. And it's what it's being primarily used for at the moment is there's a study using it to figure out, can we hasten multimodal learning for a multidisciplinary team using a software like this for in the emergency setting. So there's a study underway now, and hopefully the results are positive, but we'll see.
Oh, it's a wonderful use case. I could imagine nothing more fun than going on a virtual doctor visit in SoWork and just having some fun for a change going to the doctor. So yeah, that's intriguing. What are you excited about? What's next in terms of the product or personally, professionally, any travel events coming up in the next couple of months?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple of things. From a product perspective, we're like, this sounds really boring and silly, but like, I'm just super excited to keep improving the user experience because there's so many, basically I've been a gamer since I was 3 years old. So taking in all the best pieces of all the best video games I've ever played, and they don't even have to be the best video games. They just have to have a really good user experience. Taking those things and incorporating them, building them into SoWork in a way that enhances productivity or teammate connection. That's something that I'm very excited about. And everything just has to be done in priority order, of course. So continuing down that path, very exciting. We've been rolling out our AI features. Like I said, my last company was an AI company, machine learning. And that was before all this stuff was cool. This was 2018 to 2020. And so we're excited to be bringing our capabilities to SoWork to help people enhance the efficiency of their work. And so we're going to continue rolling out more and more features related to that. So that's on the work side. Personal side, I'm just on a bit of a travel swing right now to meet with partners and investors and other founders, customers. So it's been a fun last couple of weeks, and it's going to continue for another few months.
Well, good times. Thank you so much for joining me. You're in Boston, as am I. It'd be great to meet up, not in your capacity as a emergency room physician, but otherwise. So yeah, it would be wonderful to try it out. I'm going to give it a try as well. And thanks everyone for watching. Reach out to SoWork, give it a try, and see what you think. I'd love your feedback. Thanks so much, Fish.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Evan.
All right. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.